Thanks for tuning in on this Thursday. We're talking taxes. Big decision by the governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers. Democratic governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, on the partial veto of the biennial budgets. Joining me in studio from the Institute for Reforming Government, he's been on the show many times before, CJ Safer. And in studio, because she's on summer vacation, his lovely daughter, Nadia.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. And I'm always thrilled when young people get to kind of see what their dads do. So it's kind of like take your daughter to work day, which is awesome. So your reaction to what the governor did yesterday, I mean, I'm still figuring out how it's legal for a governor to impact taxation, not decades, but 400 years, centuries into the future. Legal, not legal? What do you think?
Well, let's unpack this a couple ways. I mean, I think yesterday was a taxpayer massacre. And I'll also choose my words wisely because I'm on air and my daughter's here.
Yes.
But you look, if you're a taxpayer in the state of Wisconsin, I think yesterday was a disastrous day. And sometimes we have these points of current events and we sometimes undermine them. But I think it's also important to appreciate the gravity of the situation. So you want to start with K-12. What the governor did is he used his partial veto pen. As we know, Wisconsin has one of the most strong gubernatorial veto pens. The governor can veto sentences, words, letters, numbers,
punctuation.
Right. And he did 51 partial vetoes. And it wasn't that mattered. It's that he actually kind of, you know, took apart different sentences and different words to create what I would say almost new policy. And last budget, this was not as big of an issue. It was very, very minor. In fact, I can't even remember what were some of the vetoes.
Almost insignificant compared to this.
Insignificant. This one, he used it to, we'll talk about him just absolutely gutting the tax plan. But he also used it for K-12 to... instead of saying that the ability for the revenue limits, which are paid by local property taxpayers, to increase for this budget by $325, he allowed it to increase every year and for 400 years by just using some creative, and I can't even try to explain it, but I'm sure if you find it on, it's everywhere on social media.
Yeah, JS crossing Online out numbers, has a great...
Right.
We have a snapshot of what he actually did.
It's absolutely absurd. And quite frankly, the ability to go from a two-year ability to increase spending on schools by local property taxpayers to 400 years is comical at best. And at worst, it's why people hate politics.
Yeah, it assumes a couple things. One, that we still fund schools in the same way. It assumes the power of money in 400 years, which no one has any clue what $325 would be 100 years from now, let alone 400. So it's presumptuous. I think it might be illegal based on, I don't think the partial veto gives the governor that power to impact legislation, taxation 400 years in the future. I don't think it does.
Look, from a policy standpoint, it's absolutely silly. I mean, it's ridiculous. Whatever word you want to use from a politics standpoint, I think it's, unfortunately, it's very devious. Because now every future governor, until the laws change to increase or decrease that, that's the standard. So it's not hard to think of a Republican governor coming in 3 years or 8 years and saying, hey, you know, I only want to increase it by $100 and not $325. You know what the Democrats and you know what the media is going to call that. They're going to call that a cut. So they have increased the threshold and moved the Overton window of what all future debates over spending and payment by local property taxpayers on schools is going to revolve around.
Let's talk about the politics of it. So now Governor Evers, if indeed he has plans to be a third term Tony, this is something I would think would be front and center of hit on his side, making the argument. I looked out for the future. I'm thinking forward, yeah, which is a term that's thrown around a lot by politicians. Or from the other side, you did something that was undemocratic, and you should never do that, even with this partial veto.
I think on the one hand, everyone loves spending on public schools. Polls have shown
that. But he already had that.
He already threw $1 billion into public schools. I do think the tide's turning a bit as people are realizing that they haven't been getting the return on investment, as scores have been stagnant at best and declining at worst on math and reading and civics. And I think, look, from my, you know what, politics is politics, but I think the separation of powers issue is so fundamentally offensive to me. that the governor can do this and have so much unilateral power to redirect and increase taxes on future generations by just changing a couple numbers. I do think there's real constitutional issues. About 4 years ago, Will brought a lawsuit to the state Supreme Court. My current colleague at IRG, Anthony Lococo, former attorney at Will, was very much involved in that. And what they brought to the Supreme Court and won was they thought they made the argument that you cannot, you know, shift policy with the veto. You can kind of get, you can delete sentences. You can certainly use the ability of a partial veto, but you can't shift around and create new policy. I would argue that's exactly what Evers is doing by basically essentially creating a school funding policy for the next 400 years. The problem that I think that we're going to have is there is no, what we would say in law, governing consensus of what the precedent is. It's been, the courts have been very divided on this. The conservative majority have never been able to come down with a hard precedent. And I also think you're dealing with, now you're going to have a liberal majority, which in their past, their decisions have very much been in favor of a very strong governor when it comes to the veto. So I think there's a lot of problems here. I think people need to be offended by the separation of powers or lack thereof.
Has this partial veto, this impact on those, the tax policy, the tax rates, and the 400-year plan, whatever that is going to end up being in the future, has that blown up any goodwill that existed between the governor and the legislature?
I think so. I think you can just kind of skim social media. Representative Tyler August, who's in leadership in the assembly, he was very upset. He thought that this went back according to his press statement, went back on deals that were made between the governor and the Republican legislature. As I think everyone can remember, there was this big funding agreement on schools to increase public schools by over $1 billion in spending, and then to increase spending on choice and charter schools. This was an agreement. It was a really good kumbaya moment. This is something that IRG Action supported. And I think when you look at this, this could be saying, well, he's actually creatively figuring out how to increase funding for schools and increase property taxes. And I think that kind of goes back on the deal. I don't think there's going to be a lot of trust. There wasn't a ton to begin with. There was some of this was forced to the table because of the structure of divided government. And I think that the way that this is kind of structured, I think it's going to be made even more toxic in Wisconsin.
CJ Schaefer, my guest from the Institute for Reforming Government, will continue the conversation after this on WTMJ. We are joined in studio by CJ Schaefer, my friend, and the president of the Institute for Reforming Government. Been a guest many times. And for all the Democrats and liberals who are saying, well, where's the other side? I've invited the governor of the state of Wisconsin, who's been on this program also many times, to defend what he did. I reached out last night. So that invitation is open. And I will find time if when the governor decides to come on, because I think that's fair.
Well, I would love to hear why the governor vetoed a middle class tax cut.
Yes. And let's get to that, because I don't know how he defines middle class. For me, middle class is where his endpoint, 36,000 to about 100,000, maybe a little bit higher than that. That's how I define it. Now, I know that there's lots of different ways to look at it. And I've seen anything from 35 to 50, 35 to 70. I go much higher than that, because two-income households, it's not uncommon for people to make $100,000. And you throw in the cost of everything going up, that seems to be the middle class. So for all those Wisconsinites, most of them, CJ, they're getting nothing. How's that work with a $7 billion budget surplus?
Well, you and I, you know, look, you and I have been talking about the $7 billion surplus for about a year.
Yes.
If not two. And look, yesterday was a taxpayer massacre with the use of the governor's veto pen. We talked about the K-12, the 400-year property tax increase. But now, you know, we're going to talk about how the Republican legislature passed a $3.5 billion individual income tax cut. That was a couple weeks ago. I supported it. IRG Action, my colleagues worked on it. It would have been a dramatic, one of the biggest income tax cuts in Wisconsin's history. So it went to Governor Evers' desk, and he had the ability to sign it, veto it, or partial it. And he partially vetoed it, but he partially vetoed 95% of that tax cut. So instead of it being a $3.5 billion tax cut, where the average family would have savings of $570 every year, became a $175 million tax cut, and the average family, low-income families, would save $37 per family.
Mm-hmm.
$37 per family. Not belittling that amount of money. I think any tax cuts are good, but when you have such an unprecedented surplus, you have to go big. And the problem is, I think right now, I think taxpayers across Wisconsin can be, will be, and should be pissed. And quite frankly, if you are listening to this, if you can hear us talking, you are going to get a tax cut that was going to average $573. You are making more than $36,000 a year. And because of Governor Evers' veto, you no longer have that tax cut. You are getting nothing. I think that's a massive political, but, you know, let's be honest, most importantly, a policy problem for the state of Wisconsin. We have very high tax rates for the for small businesses, for job creators, and for the middle class. And we're being passed by all of our neighbors. This was a unprecedented opportunity, and Governor Evers failed.
I'll put it this way, even simpler terms. The governor, with the legislators' help, had a chance to do the right thing. Surplus, folks are feeling the pressures of recession, possibly, inflation, certainly. Handing them $500 versus $37 for a very small portion of that group, who are hardworking Wisconsinites who could use the help, is a slap in the face. I don't care how the governor wants to look at it, it's a slap in the face. Now, what do you think about this idea that somehow this is going to force Republicans to get with the governor and work out something for the rest of the surplus, or part of that surplus, that addresses that gap? I'm not that confident.
Right. Some of the surplus will be spent down, especially because with the funding of schools. But honestly, a lot of that surplus is still going to be there. Governor Evers doesn't want to play ball with Republicans, and I don't know how else to say it. And maybe some listeners will say that that's a partisan shot, but I think yesterday it's objectively true. Governor Evers, he originally had a middle class tax cut of 10%. He had a ton of tax increases in his budget. Those tax increases went away. The Republicans countered with a huge $3.5 billion tax cut, which would have given a 17% cut to everybody making more than $36,000. And Evers vetoed that because he wanted more targeted to the middle class and not to the top rates, to what he would say the wealthy.
Yeah, even though those people pay the most taxes. I always want to make sure we talk about that. Yeah,
and they're small businesses.
And this, by the way, for all the people hating on Republicans today in some weird response to what the governor did, this is the Republican legislature that agreed with the governor on shared revenue, that agreed with the governor that all schools in Wisconsin would get additional funding. They made that happen with the governor's help, with the legislator's help. All of a sudden, that's kind of washed away with the actions of the governor yesterday.
Well, and look, I mean, you know, this is what Speaker Voss and Senate Majority Leader LeMahieu have sent to Evers. To some extent, that's a common sense plan. Look, I've been on this show. We think that Wisconsin should not have an income tax.
I've also advocated.
We've discussed this. Senate Majority, and that has gotten traction by lawmakers. Senate Majority Leader LeMahieu wants a 3% flat tax. So to some extent, the legislature came together and said, okay, what could potentially Governor Evers sign? That's how they got the $3.5 billion tax cut, and Evers got rid of 95% of that. I absolutely do think the Republicans should try to send this back. Speaker Voss acknowledged that this morning. I think that's what they're going to try to do. I'm very concerned that the Democrats aren't going to want to play ball. I think there's just a fundamental misunderstanding of how to grow the Wisconsin economy. Think people that believe in free markets and limited government, like myself, like IRG, think that we need to have less government. We need to give more power to families and individuals. We need to make Wisconsin one of the best places, lowest taxes in the Midwest, if not like the country. And in order to get there, you have to touch taxes for the middle class, and you have to touch it for the top rate, because 95% of all small businesses pay the individual income tax rate, and that's where we have to address it. But look, I mean, quite frankly, I think this is also outrageous. I mean, I'm sitting here wondering, like, what are we all doing here? I mean, Wisconsin has major issues. We have stagnant job growth, stagnant population growth. and we have a $7 billion surplus. We've been talking about it for a year or 2 years leading up to this moment. And to
guess what? We still have a big surplus.
And we still have, and we're still going to have all the job issues, and we're going to still continue to lose jobs to other states, to Arizona, to Tennessee, to Florida. I don't think Governor Evers thinks that this is as big of an emergency as it actually is. We're losing wealth, right? When all these families and jobs leave, they're also bringing down their taxpayer money. And I think it's outrageous. And I think if I'm a taxpayer, I'm really upset.
CJ Safer, Institute for Reform and Government, and his daughter, Nadia, who's on summer vacation. You have fun on your vacation. We'll see you again down the line. More to come on all of this in Wisconsin.